You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we gave you that extra ID, no charge, from America's Web Radio, and you're going to be hearing new IDs very shortly. They're in my computer, ready to go, if I'd just gotten my lazy tail over and gotten them done. But America's Web Radio now is part of America's Broadcast Network, and it includes a number of other URLs and other websites that will be coming online. So be sure to be looking for it. We've got some exciting news. We've got a new show starting up here very shortly called The Insurance Deal, as a matter of fact. So that should be some good news, all you wanted to know about insurance and so forth. But right now, you're listening to America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. We got the Left Coast on the line. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave. It's Monday morning out here on the Left Coast. How about over there in Georgia land?
Well, I tried to change it, as a matter of fact. I woke up about, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock this morning, and I looked at the clock, and the alarm was on. And I thought, well, that's stupid. It's Sunday morning. I don't want to have the alarm on. So I turned the alarm off, and I'm laying there thinking, well, wait a second. No. Yesterday was Sunday. Oh, God, I got to get up. So I turned the alarm back on. And I never use it. I never use the alarm. My wife uses it, but I get up at about 4:15 no matter what. My lights go on, my light bulbs, my eyes open, and I can't repeat on the air what I say exactly. It's not necessarily something for the childhood neighborhood to hear, but anyway. So, I'm here.
How is the Dan and Dave Show rated? Are we PG or G, or what's our rating, you
triple,
know?
Triple X.
Triple X.
Yeah, just for the some of the thoughts you have, make it a Triple X show. Whether you ever say them or not,
just the thought. Just having the thought. Okay, yeah, well, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so with that being said, I have you ever heard something that you just say, well, yeah, duh? Okay, so I heard one of these the other day. Yeah, well, I heard one. Well, when I tell you this one, I'll get your comment on it. So I'm holding the couch down and watching the news, and this is a report out of your neighbor state, Washington State, that over the past year or so, I guess, they've had a continual rash of, be it armed robberies or just break-ins, of gun stores in Washington State. And this announcer, this girl that's doing the report, says, you know, they're very concerned about the break-ins and the robberies of gun stores because they don't want the guns falling in bad hands. At that point, I started laughing, thinking, okay, well, yeah, I understand. People are robbing these stores, breaking into these stores, and we all know that every gun ever sold has a number on it and is traceable like fleas. So these people are breaking in or robbing these gun stores because they want to become competitors. Down the street, they're going to set up their own gun store and sell the guns that they've robbed, that they've stolen, to legitimate people. Duh. You know, how could you make a statement they don't want them falling into the wrong hands? Sweetheart, I hate to tell you this, but a stolen gun is probably going to fall into a gang member's hands, a robber's hands, a killer's hands, who knows whose hands. But I can guarantee you they ain't going to fall into somebody that's going to register that sucker and let you know that he's got a carry license, because he will be in the pen about as quick as you can shake your head. So that's my duh, yeah, right, She made it sound like she had just documented the Bible or something that the police departments are concerned about it because they don't want these weapons, these guns, falling into the wrong hands. And what's your comment,
Dan? I guess,
Dan?
I just needed to be there at the time and hear that for my own self. What would you say? The guns, we don't want the guns falling into the right hands?
I don't think I would have gone there with where the guns are going. That, you know, just that it's terrible that they're robberies, and the police departments and all in Washington State are looking into it, and it's a scary thought that many stolen guns could be on the streets now, you know, or something like that. I wouldn't have specified that they don't want them falling into the wrong hands.
Well, I wonder why there's been a number of gun thefts. What's going on there? Are we building up for a gang war? Where are those guns headed?
Well, you know, yes, I think you hit it right on the head. In fact, you know, the bank robberies and all this, when we have a bad economy, robberies in general go up and so forth and so on. When you have the situation that we have now of the terrorist attacks, the homegrown terrorists, the this, the that, yeah, I think we'll see more of this across the country. And they have to get their weapons somewhere. They can't exactly go up to their local Walmart and go to their rifle shop and buy a registered weapon. So there's obviously, you know, thievery is very close to a pure capitalistic economy in that it's based on supply and demand. And you wouldn't have these robberies of gun stores or burglaries of gun stores if there weren't a demand for the weapons out there. They can't get them legally, so they have to get them illegally.
Well, and then each gun has a serial number on it. You alluded to that, but those
Sure.
serial numbers apparently can be taken off.
Well, yeah, but you know, they don't care. I mean, yeah, if you're carrying a trunk full of stolen weapons, that's not good. But at the same token, you don't care. If you're going to murder, if you're going to give away a gun for reasons of murder or whatever, then yeah, you could probably do away, or you want to file off the serial number and all this, I guess. But there's so many ways to check guns now that I don't think the serial numbers even are that important anymore. And to somebody that wants a gun to do bad, be it robbery, be it, you know, whatever, he doesn't give a damn what, you know, just as long as it's a gun that fires. And then he's off to the races, you know, doing something. And so he gets caught. All right, he's committed a crime, he gets caught, and he has a stolen weapon. That's sort of like, define bad. He's bad, he's worse, he's worser than he was before, he's now worser than worse, and, you know, I mean, it's once he or she or whatever is caught with they've probably been doing something bad anyway. But anyway, my whole point was the girl saying they don't want the weapons falling in the wrong hands. Well, I think she missed the point. So
I tell you, it is interesting that you hear things like that on the news, and sometimes it just really sets you off. And I think it's as much how they say it as what they've said.
Yeah, yeah, and just how stupid can you get?
Well,
you know? She obviously didn't read her report before she gave her report, or either that, or she has a bad understanding of stealing of guns, I guess. I don't know. Another one that I, well, it didn't, you know, I was laughing about that. Some of those guns might show up in Georgia, who knows, but I don't think it affects me a whole lot. But the one that did, that really, you're talking about setting me off, I don't want to say it set me off. I was just listening intently, and it's funny. I know I have a split personality. I guess that makes you a schizo or something if you have a split personality. But I was listening. One part of my head was listening last night, and another part of it was pulling up memories at the same time. And I'm listening to this guy, this lieutenant colonel, and a contributor for Fox News. And I basically believe every word that he was saying, or most every word that he was saying. And I was thinking back to the 60s, even the early part of the 60s, and then as I got closer to the age, I was looking at the 60s more than in general. But what he was saying was that America, the United States, if they want to come out of Afghanistan, they better realize that it's going to be a long, drawn-out procedure. And as soon as he said that, it clicked in my head that, gee, where have I heard this before in 1962, 63? And it was a little thing called another policing action called Vietnam. This guy last night also included Korea. You know, you go back to the fact is, it goes back to World War II. We haven't gotten out of Germany. We haven't gotten out of Europe. We haven't gotten out of Korea. And to think that we're going to commit, I don't know where you were with it, but from the get-go going into Afghanistan to, quote, end quote, air quotes, or whatever you want to call them, get the Taliban. I thought about one of the movies that, whatever his name, Mr. Muscles was in, that was about Russia, and Russia couldn't win in Afghanistan. They finally tucked their heads between their legs and left. And I've always thought about Russia leaving Afghanistan from the standpoint that we're over there doing it politically correct, supposedly, I guess. And Russia, I couldn't think of a country that would play by any rules nastier than Russia would come up with. And they couldn't beat the Taliban. So how in the hell do we think we can? And for this guy to say, well, the generals that have the boots on the ground are requesting 5,000 more advisors. As soon as he said the word advisor, that's when my missile launched. So with that being said, we'll come back. We'll talk about it when we get back. Dan, right now we're going to take a quick break on the Dan and Dave Show. We'll be back right after this.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Dan, we're back on the Dan and Dave Show. So, Dan, my question is, what do you think about Afghanistan? Should we stay in there, commit more advisors to the dirt bags, or where do we go?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I think we've gone past trying to defeat an enemy, and now we're trying to build a nation, and we're not, the U.S. doesn't seem to be a very good nation builder. But in 1966, Senator George Aiken gave some advice about Vietnam. He said, declare victory and get out. And I think that would be good advice for Afghanistan. Let's just go ahead and say, you know, we accomplished our mission. We won, and now it's time to leave. We've spent over $1 trillion in Afghanistan. It's been the second most expensive war after World War II. We've lost 2,350 soldiers, and, you know, in a couple of years, we're going to have kids over there fighting that weren't even born at the time of 9/11. So that's kind of some historical background to that war, and we don't seem to be able to push our success there any further, and I'm not sure sending over another 5,000 advisors would do it. When we went over there, opium production was big time. It creates about 80% of the revenue of that country and about 80% of the world's supply of opium. Well, we haven't done anything to disrupt opium production, which I always thought would have been a pretty good thing for us to do. I understand that a lot of the people depend on opium production for their income, but you would think that we would have been able to give them another industry to replace opium. But it just, you know, it seems like it's time to get out. We've lost people, we've spent money, we gave it a good Yankee try, and now let's declare victory and leave.
I think
that's where we're at. Britain couldn't do it. You know, Britain ruled the world, and they got their butts kicked in Afghanistan. Soviet Union, like you say, probably has one of the nastiest militaries, and they couldn't do it. How come we're so confident? And Trump himself has voiced, grave concerns about being in Afghanistan. In fact, I think before his election, before he even ran for office, he was saying, let's get out of Afghanistan. We don't belong there. So maybe we will.
I don't know. Somebody is advising somebody wrongly.
The only argument that I hear is, you know, either we go kill them there, or they're going to come to our country and kill us here. And I don't know. I don't know about that argument.
Well, the one that I heard, which, you know, you sit back and it makes some kind of sense, I guess, is that if the Taliban were to totally control Afghanistan, then it would open the door to giving ISIS a total safe haven country that they could do whatever they wanted to in and prepare for other attacks in Europe, in the U.S., wherever, and so forth. So with that, yeah, I can see they're all sort of birds of the feather that flock together, and so maybe they just need to be killed. The other, and people think probably that all I do is lay on the couch and watch television. Well, they're right. No. Another interesting guy that I saw was and he's written a book. He was the head of the mafia in Philadelphia for many, many, many years. And Nortali or something like that, N-O-R-T-A-L-I-A, I believe. And he's written a book about his time, and he was finally arrested and sentenced, and he served something like, I don't know, 13 years or got off after, I don't know. I don't know the whole story. But he was very interesting. They asked him, whoever was interviewing, said, what is your major concern in the U.S. today? And he said, no question, it's terrorism. And what we've seen with the homegrown terrorists and what we've seen with Fort Hood and so forth and so on, and they went through and listed a bunch, Boston and so forth. And he said, you know, and this guy, I would guess, is probably late 70s, early 80s now. But on the air, he said, well, if the government wants to effectively stop terrorism in the United States, they'll give me a call. And the guy interviewed and said, well, what would you do? Well, there's only one answer to those people. I'd kill them. And he said, and again, he restated, if the government wants something done, they can't seem to get it done, just give me a call, and it'll be a short time, and we'll have no terrorist problems. And again, the interviewer asked, what would you do? And the guy said, have them killed. That's the only thing they know. That's the only way that's going to stop it. This guy, when he said it, he'd be telling the truth. There was no question watching him the interviewer said something, and the guy said, well, you know, I never whacked anybody that shouldn't have been killed. Okay. Let her rip. But that was, I wish I could think of it as, he was the, you might look it up, retired mafia leader of Philadelphia in the 90s. I think that was when he was, and he was, he also kidded about I guess is as good a way as any, who wouldn't want to be the head of the mafia in Philadelphia? I was very powerful. Okay, yeah, I bet you were. You know, how many notches have you got on your pistol grip? But anyway, I think he's probably got the real answer to the terrorism problem. Kill him.
Well, it's a difficult problem, and I think he's probably a pretty arrogant man, you know, and I'm pretty sure if the government came calling, he wouldn't have a solution. You know, it sounds like a straightforward solution, but I don't think it's quite that easy. It's not Sabella, is it? Sabella? Or Molino?
Maybe it was Molino. Maybe I've got my names mixed up.
There's a bunch of them. Philadelphia apparently had a whole bunch of mafia bosses in the 90s.
Huh. Well, supposedly he was ahead. I don't know how you go on Fox News or yesterday's whatever and find who they interviewed, but I guess if it were that important to me, I could do it. But.
Yeah, there's a Joseph Lagambi, there's a Joseph Skinny Joey Merlino, and they were whacking each other.
Now, that doesn't sound particularly deadly, but doesn't sound very good either.
Well, okay.
Maybe we shouldn't go there. They might be
Philadelphia,
coming.
Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love.
Yeah. So they say. Anyway, so
one thing I did want to bring out about Afghanistan, it's an awesome training ground for our troops. It's like Iraq in its day. It was a great training ground for our troops and a great weapon testing venue. And I think it's undoubtedly made our military the best military in the world, but it has been at a high cost, and there's bound to be a better way to train infantry rather than just cut them loose and, you know, lose the men and women that we've lost over the years in Afghanistan. And what a crummy area to fight in, just like Vietnam. I mean, can't they pick a nice area to fight?
Downtown L.A., or what did you have in mind?
I don't know. You know, Sedona, Arizona, someplace kind of scenic. hope we don't have any listeners in Sedona.
Well, who knows?
I don't know. Those are complicated problems, aren't they? I'm glad, certain times I'm glad that I could just be a Monday morning quarterback and not actually have to run the team on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's sometimes hard to distinguish who's running the game anyway.
Good point.
I think I'm jealous of Jesse Waters and Waters World and going out. It'd be interesting to go out on the street and see what people are thinking of, if they even know we're still in Afghanistan, even if they have any comment about the Taliban or Afghanistan. It was sort of like this weekend was, I guess, I don't know if there was a real title to it or not, but National Anti-Sharia Law in the U.S., and they had a number of demonstrations in different cities protesting Sharia law. And so they'd go up to them and they'd interview them and say, well, what are you protesting? And the protesters would say, Sharia law. Well, does that mean you're against Muslims or against Islam or whatever? Oh, no, we're just protesting Sharia law. Well, that's sort of like having your cake and eating it too. You, in my understanding, a good Islamic person believes in Sharia law to the letter of the Sharia law, and if that be the case, well, then the reality is you're protesting Muslims or you're protesting Islams or whatever. I guess I came out of this weekend just, I don't want to say confused, just, I don't know. And part of that was watching the Comey as well. With that being said, we got to take a break. We'll be back on America's Web Radio, part of America's Broadcast Network. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Radio station anywhere in cyberspace. We have shows about health, business, current events, entertainment, home care, and everything in between. We appreciate your continued support of America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show, BS and Politics. That's the best way to describe Dan and Dave and the show.
You know, we should probably talk a little bit about James Comey. I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners that have concerns about whether or not he should have been fired, concerns about what he said in front of the Senate committee. He's trying to kick up dust. I think obviously he's pretty ticked off at the president for firing him. That really changed his life, and I don't blame him for that. I was fired one time. Have you ever been fired?
I have never been fired. At 12 years old, I was laid off, which is basically the same way, or same as being fired. But I had gotten my first job, and it was with a friend of my father's, who it was the grand opening of a Piggly Wiggly's in Lubbock. And I was a bag boy, and back then you would take the groceries to the cars for the women or for whoever. I worked my tail off.
They would tip you, as I remember. The lady would take a quarter out of her purse.
Sometimes. I killed myself. And so after the grand opening and all of this, well, they cut back because they weren't giving away the store and they didn't need all the people that they had on Saturday and Sunday. And I was one of the ones to go, and it broke my heart. You know, there were other kids there that were working that they were doing. In fact, a friend of mine, or sort of a friend, a guy I knew, had started with me at the same time, and he was one of these that did more working to figure out how to get out of work than he did working. And I was there well before I was supposed to, and I'd work after time if they needed me, and I just, you know. And I was there about, I guess about 11 or 12 weekends, Friday afternoon and Saturdays. And when I got my, your laid off notice, I just, and my mother or dad or whoever it was came and picked me up, I was just shredded. And I guess in some ways that may have been what sparked my entrepreneurship, in that I'm not going to let somebody ever lay me off again when I've busted my tail for them, and this is what I get. So thereafter, if I went to work for anybody, it was under my terms, not under their terms. And then I started my own business.
Comey calls that being between opportunities. So you were you found yourself between opportunities.
The I one reckon
that had just passed and the one that was to come.
Yeah, I reckon.
But Comey said the president's a liar, and then the president comes out and said, "Well, what Comey said was not true." And somebody said, "Well, did he lie?" And Trump said, "Well, what he said was not true." I don't think he called Comey a liar, but you know, there may or may not be a recording of the meeting. I bet there is. I bet Trump is the kind of guy who records every meeting. In fact, I believe he has a history of doing that, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's to the president's benefit that that recording shows up. If it's not to the president's benefit, it probably won't. But it's an interesting situation. I don't think Comey advanced the argument that the president was involved in a Russian election conspiracy, but you know, just calling the president a liar is a pretty damning political statement.
Yeah, and I, you know, walking in the door, I thought I was a Comey fan. Walking out of the door, I don't really think I'm a Comey fan at all, as a matter of fact. I believe sort of like Trump said, or some of the Republicans say, he's a showboater. And, you know, he tried to take over the attorney general's job as the head of the FBI, and that's not that's not his position. So, interesting. I don't know the guy by any means, but the next attorney general will be from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ray. I do know the law firm he's with, King and Spalding. King and Spalding, if you get a letter from them for anything, you can just start shaking in your boots and say, "I give up." They are a highly respected, humongously large law firm, and I wouldn't be surprised if their hourly rate didn't start at well over $1,000 an hour for one of their attorneys. I couldn't even afford their janitors. So this guy must be really good. Mr. Ray, W-R-A-Y.
So he's going to be the Attorney General of Georgia.
No, of the U.S. Or, I'm sorry, not Attorney General. He's going to be the head of the FBI. I'm sorry. Duh. He's the nominee. He's Trump's nominee for director of the FBI.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm surprised that we haven't already, that Trump hasn't already replaced that position. The first time I saw Comey, I thought, wow, boy, he's like a superhero. He's tall and good-looking and well-spoken, and he's got a white shirt and, you know, what not to like about it. But I'm totally in agreement with you that I think he's a showboater, and I think it's interesting that he alluded to his feelings so much in the Senate hearing. You know, he awoke at night.
Gave me a queasy feeling.
Yeah, gave him a queasy. He was sick at his stomach. He, you know.
He made the point too. I just wasn't strong enough, and I think that was with regard to Loretta Lynch or something.
Yeah. I was thinking J. Edgar Hoover. You know, did he ever say I wasn't strong enough?
I think he just said
FBI directors they're not weak men.
No.
You hope.
And probably a bit ruthless.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know. I'm not a Mr. Comey has lost any support that I once gave him.
The president has been pretty quiet over the last few days.
Yeah, I need to segue, and we might talk about it more in the last quarter, but I don't want to forget this. We have a race going on here in the 6th District of Georgia. It has already become the most expensive race in history. More money has been poured into this race than for a House of Representative position than any ever before. You know, I don't even, I think I heard it's at $31 million or something like that. This is, it's becoming almost like a lottery type of thing. I'm not really a big supporter of the Republican candidate. I know her. She's been on my radio stations in the past. But the young man, I guess, that's running against her, John Ossoff, O-S-S-O-F-F, is a blatant liar and should not in any shape, form, or fashion be elected. Now, he has garnered millions and millions and millions of dollars, and you can't turn on TV without seeing his mugshot. But he is a liar. He considers sending a film crew, not going himself, but sending a film crew to Afghanistan like being on site. He says that he had a top clearance security position, which is a lie. Nobody would give this person, the government wouldn't even give him a top secret security pass. I'm ashamed of the fact that the Republicans couldn't come up with a better candidate. Once again, the Republicans shot themselves in the foot by having, I think it was either 11 or 12 people run in the runoffs, and then one person won it. And she, in my opinion, is not the best candidate, but compared to the Democratic candidate, he's slick, he's young, and I'm sure he'll get a lot of the young voters. But as far as being worthy of being my representative, there is no way. And anybody that votes for John Ossoff, and I find out, will never be on my radio station, that I can assure you. He is really bad. And when you know somebody is lying going in and he puts it on the air, then you just wonder, if he's given a little power, how big a lie will he tell tomorrow? So I had to get that out, and for what it's worth, and people that are listening, I hope you pay attention and go to the polls. And I can't say vote for the other candidate, but at least vote against John Ossoff. There you go, Dan. Sorry.
Just not a good choice there.
No. No. They're replacing Tom Price, who's the HHS secretary now. Tom was okay. We won't go into that, but the two candidates that are running for his position, the one, this John Ossoff, he's just a liar. He is a liar. And that's the end of my statement on that.
When did the results get announced?
It's June the 20th, so it's about 8 days away, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so next Monday we'll be getting pretty close to it. We can talk about it more Monday.
Yeah, we've already gone, and it's an interesting thing. We have early voting here, as do you all, and there's been it's been one of the largest turnouts for early voting. We're going to take a break on America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. We'll be back with the Left Coast.
It went from
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby. The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show. Dan, this is sort of something off of out of left field, I guess, or more than out of left field. Maybe it's not even in the field, come to think of it. I did not watch TV all weekend. I want to make that perfectly clear. I got up and brushed my teeth once, I think. You know, where do you think, I'm sure people, as they saw Hitler building his regime, as they saw Japan building up the emperor and all of this stuff, that, and even back in the 50s, when you and I can both start remembering world events of sorts, Russia and the scare of nuclear war and all this, how do you compare 2017 with any year previous in that, you know, in the deal with Comey, the deal with looking at what, you know, one of the things, too, that came up this weekend was the U.S., our tax dollar paying for this this play that where they it's supposed to be a takeoff of Caesar, but it's Trump and they're killing Trump and all of this, and that idiot, that lady or girl or whatever the hell she is that did the thing of the Trump's head and all, you know, to me that's all sick. And you look at that kind of stuff, you look at the Comey hearings, the lying, the showboating, whatever, then you look at on and on and on of, for lack of better words, in air quotes again, the stuff that's going on here. I find one, it's very tiring. It's you know, we sat down last night to watch a program, and I told my wife, no, you know, I'm going up and read a book. I can't take any more negative, and the television shows today, good gosh, you know. So anyway, where would you compare overall feelings that you have in 2017 compared to other times?
Yeah, great question. I don't know that I've got a great answer. Trump is so... The feeling for Trump is so divided. You either hate him or you love him, I suppose. There's not much middle ground. Nixon, did some people love Nixon? I know a lot of people hated him. I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know that, you know, you hear that history repeats itself. We need to think about that a little bit. Do you have an answer for that, or do you have a time that comes to your mind?
No, and I guess that's why I ask it. No, I don't have the answer, and
I've never seen the anger, the fury, the nastiness that is focused on Trump right now. I saw something about the new Time magazine cover, saying that Trump is the liar in chief, I think was the title. And I don't know if that was a hoax or if that was the actual proposed Time cover. I don't think it's going to be printed that way, but I don't know if that was just a hoax or not. But, you know, and the severed head, those are beyond the pale, beyond how an American should express their disagreement. You know, we're getting into third world revolutionary ideas. I saw a video of a woman giving a speech, and this woman happens to be black. She happens to have a doctorate degree. And she happened to get coverage on Fox News. Well, she blames Fox News for defaming her and instigating death threats against her. And I sort of tried to research that, and I couldn't find anything except that Fox News broadcast her commencement speech, which was very hate-filled, and she called Trump, you know, names, and she called other people names, and a very liberal-thinking woman. It's just nasty. Things are getting nasty. And I don't know that you can pull back from that. Maybe this is the new norm. Maybe it's going to be generational. I went to a meeting this week on the differences between generations, and we have the Gen Xers, who you and I fall in, not the Gen X, but the baby boomers you and I fall into. But then there's a generation down the road called the millennials, and the millennials will actually be bigger than the baby boom generation. And I don't think they think as nasty as some of the baby boomers do. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Anyway, and I'm looking, I think, at the new Time cover, and it doesn't say anything about Trump.
Well, you know, it was pretty nasty during Vietnam and the Chicago riots during the Democratic Convention were pretty nasty, but not anything like what's happening today. And you know, I guess I keep looking at when Johnson was reelected president, LBJ.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a friendly thing. The flower children certainly didn't like the military. And, you know, they did some things that I certainly didn't agree with, but, you know, it was still, there was not, like you said, there was nothing like today. And I think that idiot, supposedly comedian that did the Trump thing last week or week before, I think she should be arrested.
Kathy Griffin.
Yeah,
she should.
She should be in jail. I'm sorry, but that was that was so bad. And what did it accomplish? Nothing, other than more anger, stirring up more anger. So, I to answer your question, I can't answer my own question. I don't know if it's getting worse. I'm embarrassed to be a part, and I'm not a part of that stuff, but still, it's my country, it's our country, and that we would, well, let me back up. I blame the media to a degree for even showing it, you know? If they had left that stupid lady, not shown it, not promoted, she got exactly what she got notoriety out of it. You know, and I think that's what she was going for. Let's see what shock appeal I can get out of this. And anyway, I don't know. I think
it makes you wonder what's next. You know, what will be next? What will these comedians try next, or spokespeople? What are you going to see? What are they going to do?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, interesting show today. We went from Vietnam to Afghanistan to Washington, D.C. Interesting. Maybe one day China will be nation building in the United States, you reckon?
I don't know. It is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
I do see a time cover here. I think it's the last May 18th time cover. So this is a couple of weeks old. But it shows the White House overlaid with, I guess, the Russian White House. And they kind of blend together with an obvious political message.
Hmm. Well, and then on top of it, the one that we didn't add to the whole mess is your little buddy in North Korea. And who knows what that idiot's going to do. However, with that said, Dan, we got to put the plug in the jug and get out of here. Get ready for Mr. Kurt Sumner and his NSPS Hour, exclusively on America's Web Radio and the radio station and network that I hope most land surveyors listen to for Kurt's show, because it's always a very good show. As always, thanks, Dan, for a good show. This was sort of...
Say hi to Kurt for me.
Getting some venting off my chest or something today. Anyway...
Hey, you should feel better.
Yes. We'll be back next week on America's Web Radio. Take care.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.